I shot an arrow into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. For so swiftly it flew, the sight could not follow it in its flight. I breathed a song into the air. It fell to earth, I knew not where. For who has sight so keen and strong that it can follow the flight of a song? Long, long afterward, in an oak, I found the arrow still unbroke. And the song, from beginning to end, I found again in the heart of a friend. I'm sure most of you today are familiar with this Longfellow poem called The Arrow and the Song. It's telling us that our words and actions have an effect on the world around us. And once that you fire them off, whether they are arrows of anger or songs of love, you can't pull them back. I've thought a lot this week about that first line. I shot an arrow into the air. For me to shoot the arrow would mean that I'm the archer. I wanted to be an archer when I was a young boy. I used to play in the woods and find some sticks and try to stretch rubber bands on them and try to shoot my sister and other things. But I didn't really have the experience of being able to do that. I got to do it a little bit in PE class one time, and I enjoyed that. My father-in-law was a good archer and a good hunter, and he would bring his bow and arrows out and get some hay bale targets and with Nick and Maddie, and he would teach them how to shoot, and they really enjoyed that, probably Maddie more than any of them. And Bruce entered them into a contest. It was like the state fair or something for the Outdoor Dan radio show, where they could win a whole big huge thing of wilderness survival kind of stuff and put Nick and Maddie's name in it, and Maddie won that. And in that little package was a little bow and some arrows. So I knew I was going to have some opportunity to kind of relive some of my childhood dreams. And I took it out one day, and I was going to put up the tire swing that's in the back of our yard. A lot of you little people have had fun times on it. It's no longer there. The last camp out, it fell and got just no longer there. But there's a little kind of secret that my older kids always kind of laugh about not telling people that are on that swing. The way I tried to get the swing up, I've done a lot of stupid things in my life. This was one of them, and it's a constant reminder. I tied a string onto an arrow, and I thought, I'm going to shoot this arrow over that branch, and then I'm going to tie a rope onto the string and try to pull that rope up, and so I don't have to climb up there to actually tie the rope for this tire swing. And I worked on that all day long. I shot arrows into the branch, which would have been pretty cool if I was aiming for the branch, but I wasn't actually aiming for the branch when I hit it. And I lost several arrows up in the trees. And one arrow went up, started going over the branch, and then the string got all wrapped up in all the branches. And so there's an arrow to this day hanging straight down on a string, right above the head of anybody that was on that tire swing. I tried not to tell people about that so that they would enjoy their time and not be worried about their potential impaling that they could have had at any moment. The point of all that is that I'm a bad archer. I'm a bad archer. And the spiritual analogy that I would like to try to make this morning is that we are not the archer. We're not supposed to be the archer. We are the arrow. God is the archer. And when we try to control, when we try to take control, our aim is not true. We can easily miss the mark, or even worse, not even aim in the path that we should take. This analogy can be made with four statements in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. This arrow cannot be projected forward well by anything but the archer's bow. I can try to throw it and things, and I was practicing a little bit last night. But it can only be projected forward very well by the archer's bow. That's the only thing that can do it. And it was made to fit into it. This little slotted piece on the back is called the nock. It snaps onto the string in a certain place, not just any part of the string. There's a certain place that it needs to go right on there for this thing to fly well. It has to be in a certain location. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This arrow also is, you know, completely dependent on the archer's bow. It was actually designed to fly correctly from it. Feathers on the back, called the fletching, and they're all identical, except for one thing, right? One of them is a different color. And the reason that one is a different color is because when you're firing the arrow, that different colored one needs to be pointing outwards from you. And so it's lined up, you know, I guess perpendicular to the string or the nock slot, so that you'll always do it right. And the reason that's for that is because when you shoot it, there's this rest. And what's going to happen if the feathers hit it? You know, if you go like this and the feather hits it, it could steer it off course, right? So that one has to go out so it can go like this, so that the two feathers on the end here, kind of vertical, you know, they'll have a much better chance of going by and keeping your aim true. That's the way it has to be. It has to be that way. Lean not on your own understanding. Follow the Lord's design and will. Now imagine this arrow telling one of these other arrows here, I flew really well. I almost hit the mark. Imagine an arrow telling another arrow that without giving credit to the archer and his bow. That'd be ridiculous. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? So why do we do it? Why do we do it? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. And this arrow, if properly nocked and in the bow of a good archer, will fly true. It will fly true. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Not you, not the arrow. He, the archer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. One of the reasons I've been thinking about this topic for a while is because I'm subscribed to several physics YouTube channels, and they show, I don't know, just a whole bunch of interesting things about physics and stuff. And I just so happened to stumble upon this thing about this archery and this really good, you know, like one of the trick archers, you know. At the beginning of the thing, I was intrigued by it. There was someone out here about 10 feet, and he was throwing up an aspirin, and this guy was just shooting it, hitting an aspirin. Did it in slow motion. He's right, the aspirin would explode. It's, how in the world does he do that? And the physics, you know, person on the thing was, you know, he was the same way. How does he do this? You know, there has to be some kind of trick, or what does he know about how he can be that precise. And so the person showed him that and told him that the arrows, when they're traveling through the air, they don't travel like this, nice and straight. They're actually like, you know, like bent, and then it bends this way, and it bends this way, and it bends this way, and it flies through the air like this. I had no idea about that. Did anybody know that? Any archers out there? It goes like this. And I didn't really believe it. And then he put his, you know, physics camera. He has all this slow motion camera stuff that makes everything look really cool. And he did a slow-mo video of the thing. And here comes the arrow, and it's going like this through the air. And that was amazing. And I'm like, well, then that makes it harder, doesn't it? I mean, that would be even harder to hit the aspirin, right? And this thing's going like this. How do you know it? Right when, boom, right when it hits the aspirin. How would you possibly do that? And so the archer took this physics guy into the shop, and he put the arrow on this tester. It's like a spine tester, I think is what it was called. I don't know a lot about archery. I just had to look all this stuff up. So, and he put it on there, and I think he put like 2 kilograms or something on the end of it, and it would bend the arrow just a little bit. And there was a little zone that it had to be within that spec. He had to know his arrow, and his arrow had to bend to the right place, or it wasn't going to fly true. It was no good. And so he did a couple tests, and he had a good one, and he put it in the quiver that he had. But a lot of them would bend way too much, or some of them would hardly even bend at all. And he would take it, and he threw it over into the corner, and there was a little trash can thing over on the other in the corner, and he'd throw it over there. He had so many arrows over there that were never going to be used, never going to be shot, because they wouldn't bend to the right position. God can put pressure on us so we will reach our target. The reason it has that bend is because when he's aiming, right here, there's pressure. Before you release, there's pressure on it, and it actually bends it in so slightly. So when he releases it, I don't know if I can show you this, it bends in like this. And then when he releases it, it bends the other way. And which actually, right at that beginning, that allows the feathers to actually completely miss that rest. So it's bending in this way, he releases it, it bends the other way, and basically the feathers kind of go around it, and then it bends back the other way. It's pretty amazing. God can do that in our lives. He can put pressure on us so we will reach our target. And we need to be pliable in God's hands. We need to be able to bend to His will. We can't be too rigid and stubborn. That will not be acceptable to Him. We can't be too weak and bending to every little thing that comes our way. We have to be just right. And the Lord is going to test us and see if we're just right. I used this verse 2 talks ago, Hebrews 12 and 7. Endure hardship as discipline. Maybe it's not, but pretend it is. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. And we know that God chastens those He loves. God loves you. So when you have hardship in your life, troubles in your life, think about God. It's Him putting a little pressure on you. Right? And right now, who cares about this? We want to be on that target, don't we? Don't we want to be on that target? So for right now, when you're feeling that pressure, trust in Him. Trust in Him. You're going to bend just the right amount. He's going to make sure you bend just the right amount so that you fly true. Oswald Chambers wrote in his book, My Utmost for His Highest, a Christian's life is in the hands of God like a bow and arrow in the hands of an archer. God is aiming at something the Christian cannot see. And he stretches and he strains. And every now and again, the Christian cries out, I can't stand anymore. God does not heed. He goes on stretching till his purpose is in his sight. Then he lets fly. Trust yourself in God's hands. You cannot see him just now. You cannot understand what he is doing. But you know him. You know him. Faith is the heroic effort of your life. You fling yourself in reckless confidence on God. I really like that in that book. Read it again, but I don't think I can. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think this is important to understand, because God might just give you some arrows of your own. God will expect you to fly them on the correct path as well. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. They'll be able to defend the city. They might be able to defend the church. I've been blessed with 4 arrows in my quiver. Two have already been released. And I'm currently applying pressure to these 2 small ones. If God grants us arrows, he has expectations for how we train them for flight. Malachi 2:15, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their marriage? And what was the one God seeking? What was he seeking? What was he asking for? What did he want from me? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I don't know about the rest of the parents here, but I feel this is a daunting task. I try not to worry too much, but it is one of my biggest worries. How do I do this? I already told you, I'm not a good archer. And I have 4 arrows. God knows I'm not a good archer. What do I do? How do I do this? What a big responsibility God has given to me. I don't want any one of them to go astray and miss the mark. So what do? I pray every day to God, the perfect archer, to help me, to instruct me, to train me, to stand right behind me, to put his hands on my hands to steady me. to whisper in my ear about just the right pressure to put on that arrow. Not too lenient, but don't break him. To remind me to keep my eye fixed on the target and to chasten me when I'm not paying attention to the Lord's training. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, verses 14 through 18. Children of Israel had been under siege from Syria for a long time. And it was the Lord's doing. They were being chastened. They were being punished for their evil ways. And Syria was just ransacking them. And it takes a while. Sometimes we're stubborn. We don't go to God. But Jehoash, king of Israel, decided, enough is enough. I need to cry out to the Lord. So we read this passage. It says, now Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha came and put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria, Elisha declared. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and they stopped. Elisha was angry with them and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Syria and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Ain't this a pretty good analogy for our lives? When we let God guide us, it's the Lord's arrow of victory. When we let him guide us, it works. But when we try to take things in our own hands and we use our own ideas, we more than likely are going to fail. We need to let God guide us at all times. At all times. When we're shooting our arrows into the world, you're blessed with arrows. Let God guide you in the way that you should train them and fire them into the world. As we close today, we are reminded that the scriptures tell us that there are always arrows coming our way as well. Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Psalm 11:2, for look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. There's arrows coming our way. Jesus promised there would be. We would have trouble in this world. In this world. In this world. You will have trouble. We have no reason to fear these arrows. The children of Israel were oppressed in Egypt. Then they wandered for 40 years. Then during the period of the judges, they were oppressed time and time again. Through the period of the kings, they also had hardship and even then had civil war between Israel and Judah. Finally, they were all taken away into captivity. And it seemed as if everything was lost. Prophets cried out to the Lord. Then God sent a message through Isaiah about a perfect arrow that he had in his quiver and that he would be firing into the world. Isaiah 49:2, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. This is a reference to the Christ, the Messiah, the perfect arrow, which was with God in his quiver until, as Galatians 4:4 says, the fullness of the time had come. And God fired the perfect arrow into the world to save us all if we will only accept him by immersion into his name. Think on these things this morning. If you have a desire to be an arrow for God, to fly straight and true, you can't do that by yourself. You need the archer and his son. You must accept him if you want to reach that final destination, that target that we're all aiming for. We'll ask that you take care of that as we stand and sing the invitation song.